Well, good morning everyone, and thanks again for joining us as we seek to have some sort of shared service while we all find ourselves in lockdown at the moment. So much has happened since last Sunday, hasn't it? And I suspect that for some of you this week has been stressful to say the least, with children to entertain, customers maybe that you've had to disappoint, employees to care for, or simply countless hours of isolation to endure. You found life these last 7 days difficult and demanding. But whatever your week has been like, delightful or dreadful, pleasant or painful, isn't it wonderful to know that the God we worship this morning never changes? Whatever we go through, no matter the matter or storm or sorrow or shadow, His love remains constant, His faithfulness consistent. And it's that comfort, that truth that this first song reminds us of and rejoices in. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Well, I do invite you now, if you would like to pause the recording and to sing along or to listen to that song on YouTube. Well, hopefully this morning you can say from experience, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Well, we're going to hear now from someone who really could say that. Someone who through the ups and downs, the good times and bad, experienced God's grace and His presence and peace. And so with that in mind, let me read from Psalm 27. It's a psalm of David that expresses his complete confidence in God, that no matter what he faced, no matter where he found himself, God was with him and God was his strength and God was his portion. So I'm going to read now from Psalm 27. David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can turn to you, that we can look to you in the uncertainty of life with all that's going on in this world. Thank you that you are our light and our salvation. Thank you again that you are our refuge. We thank you this morning that you indeed are a faithful God. Thank you that even though so much around us at the moment is shifting and changing, we thank you that you remain the same. Thank you that you remain the same and constant in your love and your faithfulness and your care for your people. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are this God who can be all that we need at this time. Thank you that you are this God who we can look to provide for us, to protect us, to look over us, to give us your peace in the perplexing times in which we live. Father, we thank you that we can call you that this morning. Thank you that we can know you as our Heavenly Father, that through the gospel, because of what Jesus has done, we can be children of God. We can know you as our Father in heaven, reigning and ruling over the universe. Father, thank you that you are this powerful God, but thank you that you are tender and loving towards your children. And Heavenly Father, it's you that we seek this morning, just as David said, my heart says of you, seek his face. And we want to seek you this morning, want to seek your presence, want to seek to know you all the more, even as the troubles and trials of this life press in around us and on us. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would know your presence with us in our homes as we worship together, as we hear from your word. We pray that we would be encouraged to live for you, encouraged to lean on you in this difficult time. Father, we pray that you would be with those of the fellowship who are struggling at the moment. Pray for those who are struggling with isolation and being by themselves. Pray that you would help them. Pray that just like David, they would have confidence in you, that they would know your presence and your closeness and nearness at this time. Father, we do pray for this nation as well as a whole. We pray that through all that is going on, your will would be done. Pray that your plans and purposes would be worked out even in the turmoil, even in the uncertainty. Heavenly Father, that you would be drawing many people to yourself, that many people would find you to be this refuge, to be this rock, to be this faithful God that we read about in your words. So, Father, we do pray that you will bless this time. Pray that it will be a time that encourages us. Pray that it will be a time that builds us up. And pray that it will be a time where we are made more like the Lord Jesus Christ, more like our Savior, who came into this world, laid down his life for sinful people like us, so that we might know you as our Father and Creator and Sustainer. So, Heavenly Father, this morning we give you all of the praise, all of the glory, and ask that you would have your way with us this morning as we meet in our homes to worship you and to hear from you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, God is not only our light and salvation and stronghold, incredibly, he's also our Father as well. Through faith in Jesus, his Son, we become members of his family. We become heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And the opening line of our next song encourages us to address him in precisely that way. It calls us to, with reverence and affection, sing to him, our Holy Father, who is rich in mercy, to worship him, our Holy Savior, who is rich in grace. So again, I do encourage you to pause the recording at this point and to sing along to this song if you know it. We do know it here in the church. Maybe it's one that you're not as familiar with. If that's the case, then maybe you would just like to listen to the words and just reflect on the wonderful truths that it presents to us. Well, the words of the final verse of that song really set the stage for what we're about to do now. That is to read God's word and ask him to speak to us through it. If you sang along with or simply listened to that song, you'll know that the final verse begins, Holy Spirit, breath of heaven, make me holy through your word. Break the chains of sin's destruction. Fix my eyes upon you, Lord. And that's really our prayer this morning, isn't it? That God would change us, that his word by the power of the Spirit would transform us, that our eyes would be transfixed not on our problems and circumstances, but on our Savior, on his sovereign power and sacrificial love. So that's our prayer as we come to God's word this morning. And we're going to read from Matthew's gospel this morning, Matthew and chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, reading down to verse 14. And this is a passage that comes in the Sermon on the Mount, a section in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is dealing really with religious hypocrisy. And he's talking about all of the different religious practices that we might engage in, prayer and fasting and giving of charity and alms. And he's saying, basically, don't do it to be seen. Don't do it to be celebrated. But do it for the right reasons. Do it for your Father in heaven. And here in Matthew chapter 6, and this particular portion here, he's teaching us about prayer, how we should pray and do it in a God-glorifying way. And it's in this passage that we find what is known today as the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and up to verse 14. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Well, as we come to God's word, let's pray again. Let's pray that God would be working in us at this time to make us more like his Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. Thank you that you are a God who speaks to us. Thank you that you are a God who is in the business of changing us. Thank you that we are experiencing that process day by day of sanctification, of looking more like Jesus Christ. Pray that this message would be one that does that work, that does that work of transformation in our hearts and our lives. There's so much going on, so much going on in our world, so much going on in our own lives. And Father, we pray that through these things you would be molding us and shaping us. Pray that you would encourage us to live lives that are kingdom focused, focused on your glory, focused on the gospel going out and changing other people's lives, just as you have changed ours. So Heavenly Father, pray for the power of your Spirit to speak through your word now and to bring it to life and to bring life to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now last week you may have seen it, a bunch of celebrities, they thought it would be good to post a video online of them all singing a line from John Lennon's Imagine. Now while their aim was no doubt noble, to unite and uplift us at this time, the internet wasn't too happy about being asked to imagine a world without possessions by those with big mansions and millions in the bank. In times like this, it seems that people are hungry for more than mere platitudes. As kind and as well-meaning as the celebrity's gesture was, it probably didn't really help anyone or actually change anything. Yes, it may have come across as caring, but when hardship hits, people aren't looking for the appearance of care, are they? No, they're looking for actual care. They're longing for concrete care. Now this morning I can only imagine the stress and anxiety that many of you, if not all of you, are experiencing at this time. With vulnerable loved ones, cooped up children, employees that you can't pay, the weight of uncertainty feels crushing, doesn't it? So tomorrow seems unbearably dark and shows no signs of brightening. And you too, like so many at this time, you need more than a song sung by celebrities. You need more than well wishes. Now what you need is support, solid support. You need someone to assist and strengthen you, someone to step in and provide and protect and promise peace to you. What you really need is someone whose presence will sustain you, whose love will never leave you, whose arms will carry you, whose hand will grab you, guide you, guard you, keep you steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Well, speaking from experience and considering the testimony of countless Christians, I can assure you that there is only one rock you can stand on in the storms of life. There is only one anchor you can cling to when the strong tides lift and the cables strain. That is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul puts it. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. And it's to this rock, this God, this Father, that Jesus here instructs us to pray. At a time when so many are wondering who or what they can turn to, we as God's people are invited to turn to our Father in heaven, to look to Him, to trust Him, to ask Him for the grace that we need to get us through. Now, sometime last week, after everything suddenly escalated and the lockdown began, I felt as though God were saying that this was a time to seize the moment. This is, for us at least, in our generation, an unprecedented time, isn't it? And the question is, will we miss the opportunity it presents, or will we make the most of it? As we've already seen, at such times, people long for answers, for someone to give them hope, the assurance of a better, brighter future. This, therefore, is a time to pray, isn't it? To make sure that we ourselves are right with God as we seek to help others get right with God. It's a time to reignite passion and pursue personal renewal, to call and cry out for revival again. And again, that's exactly what Jesus here instructs us to do. To pray big, global scale, God-focused prayers centered on His work and will in the world. In laying down this prayer as a pattern for us to follow, He's showing us what our priorities in prayer should be. How we should be concerned not just for our comfort, but for His kingdom. How we should pray not just for our sake, but for His. How we should seek, yes, physical protection from the struggle and storms of life, but also spiritual protection from sin. And so what we have held out to us here in this prayer are really the two ingredients that we need to sustain and propel us forwards at this time. On the one hand, the comfort that comes from knowing God as our Father, of being able to look to and lean on Him. And on the other hand, the challenge that we need at this time, the challenge that comes from knowing that we need to align our priorities with His. The challenge that comes from knowing that we should pray for what Jesus says we should pray for, and not just our own wants and wishes and needs. To think about God's global purposes, not simply our personal goods. Now, to help us think through both the challenge and the comfort of the Lord's Prayer this morning, I want to look at five practices, three this morning and two next week, five practices that the Lord's Prayer calls us to renew. As Christians, these are things that, yes, we should be doing all of the time, but maybe at this unique juncture in our nation's history, we have an opportunity to knead them, work them fully into the fabric of who we are and the way that we live. So here we go then. These are the five practices, three this week, hopefully two next week. Five practices that the Lord's Prayer calls us to renew. The first is this, the practice, the discipline of recognizing and relating to our Father in heaven. That's interesting, isn't it? Out of all of the titles that Jesus could have selected here, He instructs us to address God as our Father in heaven. When you look at some of the great Old Testament prayers, you notice that they often open like this. Sovereign Lord, Lord the great and awesome God, Lord the God of heaven. Such prayers rightfully begin, don't they, by focusing on God's transcendence, by acknowledging and extolling Him as the almighty universal King who created everyone and everything. But prayer in the New Testament, whilst retaining and never rejecting that reverence, introduces a level of intimacy that was arguably alien to anyone in the Old Testament. According to one Bible dictionary, in the Old Testament, God is only referred to as being an individual's or nation's father 15 times. But when you fast forward to the New Testament, even just to Matthew and these three chapters in which you find the Sermon on the Mount, the statistic is totally transformed. In Matthew 5, 6 and 7 alone, there are 17 references to God as Father. There are only 15 references to God as Father in the Old Testament, and yet there are 17 in these three chapters alone. And here Jesus tells that those who follow him, you and I, that is how we are to address God in prayer. As Father. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Jesus is telling us we're to recognize and relate to him, yes, as the one in heaven, seated on the throne, sovereign over all. But we're to do so with the absolute certainty that great God is indeed our Father. That we have been adopted by him through the gospel. Once we were spiritual orphans, but now we are children. Children that God looks after and over as any loving parent would their helpless son or daughter. I remember a time in my life when that truth became a precious reality to me. When it became more than something I read on a page, when it became part of my lived experience. Now, of course, as a Christian, I had always believed that God was my Father. But up to that point, it somehow hadn't sunk in. But when I found myself in the storm of suffering, suddenly seeing God not only as in heaven, but as my Father in heaven became an absolute necessity. It wasn't enough to know his power, nor to believe in his bigness and ability to do all things. I had to be able to approach him and address him as my Father. When life was simple and straightforward, seeing him as Saviour seemed sufficient. But when the fire got hot and hardship hit, my survival depended on the assurance that God had become my Father. That I was his child whom he would have ceaseless compassion on and continuous care for. This morning, Jesus here invites us to pray to our Father in heaven. And maybe in this season of uncertainty, as I had to, you need to renew the practice, the discipline of recognizing, relating to God as your Father in heaven. Maybe at this time with so much stress and anxiety, that's the only way that you're going to get through it, by seeing God that way, as your Father in heaven. In verse 5, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to who? Pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Did you notice the way that Jesus spoke about God? In just 4 verses, Jesus says 3 times, "your Father." And again this morning, maybe just let those words sink in. Your Father. He is your Father. He is your Heavenly, Holy Father. May God give you the confidence, the assurance that is what he is. May the Holy Spirit, who brought about your adoption to sonship, enable and encourage you to cry, "Abba, Father." May you know God in this season in that way, in that intimate, reverent way, as your Heavenly Father. So here in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus encourages us, not only encourages us, but calls us, instructs us to pray to God as Father. He wants us as his people to gratefully recognize that the God of the universe is indeed our holy heavenly dad, our Abba. And he wants us to gladly relate to him as his children. Secondly, through this prayer, Jesus exhorts us to renew the practice of requesting that God's name be reverenced and his reign established. Verse 9, our Father in heaven, as we've just seen, hallowed, seen as sacred, set apart be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now this morning, if I asked you to recite the Lord's Prayer, I'm sure most of you would find such an exercise simple and straightforward. You've said it so many times in any number of contexts that you might find it easier to remember the Lord's Prayer than some of your family members' birthdays, I don't know. But actually, being so familiar with the contents and the structure of the Lord's Prayer can shield us from some of its potential shocks. Just think about the surprising order that the petitions come in. Despite the fact that some of the people to whom Jesus speaks may not have had hobbit-like larders and therefore actually needed daily bread, despite that, the petition for daily physical provision doesn't come first, but it comes fourth, doesn't it? Now, ordinarily, that wouldn't seem problematic to us. But at the moment, with pockets being pinched and income squeezed, praying that God would meet the physical and financial needs of the day feels more imperative and pressing than anything else. Even the kingdom of God, even the hallowing of God's name. Maybe you think to yourself as you reflect on the Lord's Prayer, maybe you think, wouldn't it be sensible to start with the practical, the immediate, so that we can put our minds at rest before moving on to more spiritual matters? After all, anyone with empty cupboards and hungry bellies is going to find exerting themselves for that which is unseen and eternal counterintuitive, to say the least. If they are hungry and in need of food, that is the thing that is going to occupy their minds and their bellies and their prayers. But as Jesus says elsewhere in the Sermon on the Mount, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. The basic necessities of food and clothing. He knows that you need all of these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seems counterintuitive, doesn't it, to seek first the kingdom when we need food and clothing. But that's what Jesus tells us to do, to seek him first, and all of these other things will be given to us as well. Or as he tells us in the prayer, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. And the first thing, hallowed be your name. May your name be reverenced. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These are the big, universal, eternal prayers that Jesus wants us to front load our prayers with. May your name be reverenced. May your reign be established. Before we ask for bread or blessing, we passionately pray and plead, restore, O Lord, the honor of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that all may see, and come with reverent fear to the living God, whose kingdom shall outlast the years. Now, looking back on my own life, I can spot a bit of a pattern when it comes to the kinds of prayers I predominantly pray in seasons of pressure and stress, and maybe you can sympathize with this. When my art coursework was due, or when I've had essays to write or sermons to finish, at those times it's the prayers that center on God's glory, his reputation and renown, that are most easily jettisoned and thrown in the bin. When the hydraulic press of life begins to crush and close in, it seems so natural and necessary, doesn't it, to stop praying for God's kingdom to come, for his rule and reign to be exercised and established, and instead to simply pray for whatever is the problem right there in front of us. Do you know that experience? Sometimes the problems and the pain in front of us feel so immediate and overwhelming that we simply forget to shift our focus from the needs of the day to God's eternal plans and purposes, to his work in and will for the world. Sometimes we just forget to pray for God's kingdom. Sometimes we just feel that the only prayers we can muster are prayers for daily bread, daily provision, daily resources to get us through. But actually, this morning, if there were ever a time to buck that trend and break that habit, then surely it's now. For 4 years as a church, we've prayed intensively and sustainedly that God would break through, that He would pour out His Spirit and send our nation another revival. It is more than possible that what's happening at the moment is part of that process. We're being humbled as a nation. We're being weaned off our resources so that we're hungry for heavens. Which means now is not the time to not pray. Or now is not the time to only pray about bread and blessings in our households and loved ones, as legitimate as those prayers are. Now is the time to pray fervently, expectantly. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May the people around us reverence your name. May your reputation be restored. May your honor be restored all around us in this world. May your kingdom come, your dynamic rule in people's hearts and lives. May it come, may it break in. May your will be done perfectly on earth as it is in heaven. Now is the time to raise our eyes and lift our voices to our Father in heaven, and with one voice to cry, "Your glorious cause, O God, engages our hearts. May Jesus Christ be known wherever we are. We ask not for ourselves, but for your renown. The cross has saved us, so we pray, your kingdom come." So can I invite you this morning to do that in this season, to request that God's name would be reverenced, that His reign and rule would be established in the hearts and lives of the people around us. Maybe even this week we can join together on the days that we would usually be having our prayer meetings, Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, to pray through the Lord's Prayer by ourselves and to pray these big prayers: God, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But having challenged us to renew this practice of requesting that God's name be reverenced and His reign established, this prayer, this Lord's Prayer, then encourages us to rely on God's resources, not our own. It encourages us to pray for daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And here we see that the Lord's Prayer comforts us. It comforts us, doesn't it? By reminding us that we have a Father who knows what we need before we even ask. A God who is willing to send manna in the wilderness, strength, who sustains us each step of the journey that we're on, who supplies all of our needs as we turn to and trust in Him. It's wonderful, this part of the passage. There's the challenge to be kingdom focused, but now there's the comfort of seeing that our Father is willing indeed to provide and care for our physical needs. Now, if we're honest, living in the part of the world that we do, this prayer for daily bread seems somewhat unnecessary, doesn't it? With stocked cupboards — I don't know how stocked your cupboards are at the moment — savings, ISAs, sensible investments in stocks and shares, how many of us go through times when we have to, out of absolute necessity, pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? When do we really have to resort to relying on God to provide? Now, of course, there are times when we all struggle. Accidents happen, car parts need replacing, loved ones may ask us for loans, and so we might be shorter on cash than we usually are. But actually, this morning, I'd be surprised if any of us ever woke up having to pray for porridge to appear on the doorstep, or for the baker to be prompted to bake extra batches just for us, free of charge. Now, actually, in this part of the world, for most of us, we are more than adequately stocked and supplied. We swim in a sea of absolute abundance. But in many ways, as God's people found living in Bethlehem in the Old Testament — this was the experience of Ruth and Naomi — it seems that there is something of a famine in the land. The house of bread is indeed running out of bread. And we see that in the requests that we've had as a church, even for help for the people around us, as jobs are put on the line, uncertain, and the economy is unstable and incomes are stalling. Some of us are having to pray, "God, please give us our daily bread." More and more, maybe in these coming days, we will find ourselves having to join the rest of creation in looking to our Creator to give us our food and our finances and our fuel. Maybe at this time, in a way that you've never had to do before, you will have to learn to trust God. Maybe there was a time when you did, when you were younger and there was less money flowing in and you had to live weekly, daily even, trusting in God to provide all that you needed. And maybe again, that's where we find ourselves as God's people. We can no longer simply rely on ourselves, but actually we will need to rely on Him. Instead of fretting and stressing and assuming the role of sole provider, maybe you will find yourself saying, I have no idea where that money or that meal or that medicine is going to come from. Nevertheless, I know great is His faithfulness. All I need, His hand will supply. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? He says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, food and clothing and shelter. So why worry? Saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? All of these things are provided for us by Him. Another song that picks up beautifully on that theme. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on my side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. The story is often told in relation to this subject of George Muller. He founded in the 1800s, he founded an orphanage down in Bristol and 117 schools. Through his work and through his efforts, thousands of children were educated. And you might know about George Muller that he never appealed directly to anyone for financial support. And so the orphanage really was funded by faith. He prayed and God, through his people, provided everything that they needed. And on one occasion, this provision was overtly, spectacularly supernatural. So we read in one account, the children are dressed and ready for school, but there is no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Muller. George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide food for the children as He always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Muller, he said, last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I will bring it in. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. George Muller was a man who proved time and time again that God provides for His people. He demonstrated that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, He will indeed do that. He may not promise prosperity or surplus. He may not promise gourmet cuisine or vintage wine, but He does promise enough for each day, sufficient bread and milk to satisfy our hunger and take away our thirst. Ask yourself then this morning, will I trust Him? Will I rely on His ability to care for me, not simply my attempts to care for myself? When that panic creeps in, you know, and your palms begin to sweat and your pulse quickens as you think about what you need but don't yet have, in those moments of fear and anxiety, will you in faith and humility say, in the words of a song that I used to love to sing, you are my Creator, you are my Deliverer, you are my Redeemer, you are Lord, you are my Provider, you are now my Shepherd and my Guide, Jesus, Lord and King, I worship you. I rely on you. I rest in you to be and do for me all that I need. Are you willing to do that in this season of life? Willing to look not only to the way that you can provide for yourself, but the way that God can provide for you. In the words of George Muller, everyone is invited and commanded to trust in the Lord, to trust in him with all his heart and to cast his burden upon him and to call upon him in the day of trouble. Will you not do this, my dear brethren in Christ? I long that you may do so. I desire that you may taste the sweetness of that state of heart in which, while surrounded by difficulties and necessities, you can yet be at peace because you know that the living God, your Father in heaven, cares for you. So as we close, we don't know how long this crisis that we find ourselves in will last, do we? But while it does, we have a unique opportunity to renew or at least strengthen and sustain these disciplines. Firstly, the discipline, the practice of recognizing, relating to God as our Father in heaven. Yes, he is high and holy and transcendent and worthy of our worship, but he is also our Father who we can approach with reverence and affection. The Lord's Prayer at this time, it calls us to renew the discipline of requesting that his name be reverenced and his reign established. It calls us to renew the discipline of relying on his resources, not our own. It's at times like this that I'm reminded of Winston Churchill's urge to never let a good crisis go to waste. That to me sounds like sound advice in the times in which we live. As challenging and concerning as things are, we as God's people mustn't let this situation drive us to fear and despair, but to faith, to prayer in our Father. Let's not waste this opportunity. Let's not allow this moment to slip past us. We mustn't let what's going on at the moment make us more selfish and me-centered, but more selfless and kingdom-centered. Concerned with God and his glory, the growth of the gospel, making disciples, multiplying churches. These are the things that should be on our hearts at the moment. Yes, we're concerned. Yes, we're concerned for our own futures and the futures of the people around us. But we also pray, God, let your kingdom come. And we mustn't let what we go through cause us to resent and rail against the one who has adopted us, but to run to and rest in and rely on him. And maybe that's the thing that you need to take away from this sermon. You need to remember that your Father in heaven is the one who, in the words of the Westminster Confession, archaic language as it may be, but beautiful words, he is the one who has taken us into the number and caused us to enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God. He is the one who has put his name upon us, given us the spirit of adoption. He's given us access to the throne of grace with boldness. He's enabled us to cry, Abba, Father. He is the one who pities and protects and provides for us. He is the one who, yes, chastens us as a father, yet never casts us off, but seals us to the day of redemption that we may inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. Well, to close, I've suggested two songs. One reflects something of the comfort of the Lord's Prayer, how God is our Father, who we can totally trust in and completely depend on. He is our good shepherd, and we look to him through whatever we go through. And the other song really reflects something of the challenge of the Lord's Prayer, how as God's people, our priorities should reflect God's priorities. How first and foremost, above anything else, before everything else, we pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, so that everyone might know your name. So you're welcome to sing those songs, or maybe to sing one of them and listen to the other, or perhaps just listen to both of them. You're welcome to do either at this point. But I think it would be appropriate to close our time together by saying the Lord's Prayer, and you're welcome to join me in praying this out loud in your homes, in the street, wherever you find yourself listening to this at this moment. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.